on the Canada line. Check the engine. Check. In fact, just for the sake of the project there and for the devotees there, he extended himself and stayed back for 2 more years to do M.Tech so that no devotees can be inspired and the project can flourish. And after that, Prabhuji joined Pune Temple in 2006, and he has been always inspiring the youths. So many devotees, you ask them, who is your ideal example, they quote Devaji Guru Guru. So he has been a big source of inspiration for many of us, and he is a voice preacher, goes to many voices and gives many wonderful lectures, and currently he is serving as the TMC in Pune Temple. So the TMC is next to the president, so in this position he is serving. So he is a disciple of Nikolina Sadhana Swami Maharaj. So we are very, very fortunate to have him here today. So we would like to welcome him to Sri Sri Jagannath Balaji Subhadra Maharani Temple by loudly chanting 3 times.
Hari Om! Hari Om! Hari Om!
Yeah. इति पुत्र प्रागेन
Thank you. a very impression of how the government is. The reason is that Srila Prabhupada compares the first and second canto to the lotus flower. And later in the third chapter, third canto, when he describes meditating on the lotus form of the Lord, he says that one should meditate for the longest time on the lotus feet of the Lord. And then he writes that unless one is accustomed to serve the lotus feet of the Lord, one should not endeavor to see the face of the Lord. One should develop service and truth by taking darshan of the lotus feet of the Lord and serving the Vaishnavas who are serving the Lord. Another facility of this first canto is that these translations and purport are written by Srila Prabhupada in the Radha Damodar temple, most of them. While he was in Vrindavan after taking sannyas, and he was preparing for going to the United States in the Western country to give this message of all the great acharyas and the Supreme Lord to the whole humanity. So that time he was writing purports, translation and purports. So it was written in Radha Damodar Mandir, which is the stupas of the center, the house of the universe. Under the direct blessings and instructions and motivation of the Goswami. So that is why the first canto is very, very special. If we read this canto with translation and purport, we will find a great depth of knowledge and wisdom and realization and devotion being presented by Srila Prabhupada. The 18th chapter of Bhagavata, first canto, is also very special. Because this 18th chapter is setting up the scene. It's creating a very awkward situation. In many of the purports, Prabhupada uses the word awkward. The word itself is awkward. So at least around more than 10 places in this chapter the word awkward is used. The situation is very awkward. Parikshit Maharaj is not an ordinary man. He is a great, he is a grandson of Arjuna. He is the son of Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu is the son of Krishna's sister also. He is the son of Subhadra and Arjuna. So in one way, Parikshit Maharaj is very directly related to the Lord also, apart from being related to Pandava. And then when Ashwatthama releases Brahmastra and Madhavatara prays to the Lord for protecting the child in the womb, who was the last one in the lineage of Pandava. All of the children are already killed by Ashwatthama and they were killed in the war, Kurukshetra war. So then Krishna enters into the womb in a form which is suitable to give protection to the womb. And it is there in the womb that Parikshit Maharaj has his first darshan of the Supreme Lord. And when he came out, he was just searching for the same form. That's why his name became Parikshit. He was inquiring, examining everyone whether it's the same person whom he saw inside the womb. So it's a very special person whom the Lord gave direct protection within the womb. And after coming, you see that Haridesha Maharaj called all the Brahmanas and they were describing the role of Parikshit Maharaj. How glorious Parikshit Maharaj's personality was, how glorious his rule was. And then, this conversation is going on between Sutta Goswami and Swanakar Rishi. And they were inquiring that such a great king, such a wonderful king, why did he went to the bank of Ganges and fasted till death? Why did he bring his body? Because he was living only for the welfare of others. So he had no right to give up his own body also, because his body was not meant for his own pleasure. Body was meant for giving service to others. And then Sutta Goswami further describes the series of incidents which happened. And after this chapter, in the next chapter, there is a description of the arrival of Sukadeva Goswami. And then he started speaking from second and onwards. So it so happened one day that Parikshit Maharaj went to the forest for hunting. And there he felt very great thirst and hunger. He was practically tortured, squashed by the thirst and hunger. And Prabhupada acted again and again, just to give us a caution that this is all the element of the Lord. Don't take it on material grounds, otherwise we will be confused. And then in that stage, he comes to the ashram of Swami Rishi. And where he sees that Swami Rishi is sitting in meditation. And the king asks him for water, but because the sage is in meditation, he is not able to respond, not able to greet and receive the king. So the king becomes very angry and there's a dead snake lying just around. And then he takes the snake with the end of his bow, puts it like a garland on the neck of Shamigiri. This news goes to Shamigiri's son, Shringi was playing at the riverbank with his own, with other equipment. And the child hears about it, he becomes very angry. And he starts chastising the king. He says, just like the crow and the dog, they are dependent on the master, but sometimes they want to take the share of the master also. Similarly, because the protector of Dharma, Lord Krishna, has run away from his planet, these kings have become very imprudent. And I shall take the matter in my own hand, and now I shall suitably punish him. So in that state of anger, he curses the king. So within 7 days, after 7 days, this Akshaga bird will come and bite him and end up in jail. Although he did it, within his heart he realized that there is something wrong in it. This is the nature of Paramatma in the heart. This is conscious. The Paramatma in the heart gives us some feeling of what is right, what is wrong. You can ask any person about this also, if you want to do something wrong, there is a feeling of guilt which comes in our heart. This is not the right thing. For example, we'll be chastised from devotee, or we'll pick up some fight with someone, or we'll do some cheating with someone. Immediately there is a feeling of guilt in the heart. That is coming from the Paramatma, who is directing us that this is not the right action. So similarly, Shringi also felt that he had not done the right thing. So the child, he could not rectify it, then he came back and he started crying. And while he was crying, due to hearing his cry, Shamikrishi came out of the meditation. And then he asked, what happened? At that time he found that there was a snake around his neck. He just took that snake and threw it aside. He did not make it a big matter at all. And then when he came to know from his son, and then Shamikrishi started lamenting that what a great offense my son has committed. And there are verses after verses how he glorified Parikshit Maharaj's rule. He's comparing the Parikshit Maharaj's rule to the rule of the Supreme Lord, that he was protecting everyone, and everyone was so well protected in his kingdom. And then lamenting like that, the message goes to Parikshit Maharaj, is mentioned in one of the purports, send the message. And then he glorifies the nature of the... This is spoken by Sukha Goswami. In the last verse, he says, the devotees of the Lord are so forbearing, even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. When something is done to them personally, they are not inclined to take any kind of revenge or any kind of opposition. But when something is done to other devotees, then they will make some arrangement to take care of the devotees or not. So last time we had a discussion on this verse by so in the same sense now Sutta Goswami is saying, concluding it, concluding the context where Shamikrishi has lamented for the activity of his son. And there Sutta Goswami is saying this verse, the sin thus regretted the sin committed by his own son. So this is a very, very important thing. In Bhagavatam we often find that it is not very uncommon to see people committing mistakes. In fact, every passage in Bhagavatam starts with somebody committing some mistake. Like the Vrindavan passage happens when Indra commits a mistake, did not properly receive the spiritual master. Then the entire Bali Maharaj passage further, it happens because Indra did not treat Durvasa properly. So there are many incidences where the mistakes are committed by the devotees. But Bhagavatam teaches us that how to deal with the situation. What to do after the mistake is committed. Because it is said to add is human. Unless you become a perfected soul. And even in the perfected state, one will commit mistake. By the arrangement of the Lord. That time it is not committed by our own mental concoction. But Lord has in such a way that you end up committing mistake. But the main thing with Bhagavatam teaches us is how to respond to it. When the mistake is committed, what actions to take? And how do you deal with that situation? So the first and the foremost reaction of a devotee, and to find Bhagavatam again and again. When some mistake is committed, something wrong is done, immediately the devotee feels guilty. He regrets it. The word used is anutapta. Anutapta is used for regret also and for paschatap, which is repentance also. Tap is heat. When there is something heat, then the person feels a burning sensation. So similarly, when the devotee commits a mistake, he feels a burning sensation. Again and again the thought comes in his mind, why did I do that? How did I do that? What should I do to rectify it? What measures should I take to not repeat it in future? He does not try to justify it. Now as you see, we are sitting and chanting Hare Krishna in the morning and I mean we are deeply absorbed. Generally, it's very challenging to get up from the chanting. Okay, deeply absorbed, somebody puts his finger on our back. And only Krishna knows what we do with him. Very, in one way, it's a very interesting situation. The dad is snake around the neck. But you find that some of these did not mind this at all. Rather, when Shringi curse, the king, he lamented so much. He could have justified. He could have said, my son has done well. I fully approve of his action. He gave 7 days leave. I say he should die in 7 hours only. But no, that is why it was Mahamuni. Mahamuni was a great sage. Because once, as it is said, Prabhupada writes in the section where Raghumani is going to test the three predominating beauties of the universe, that the greatness of a person has to be estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. Not by other things. We can know how great a person is when he is put to test, when he is put in provoking situations. Otherwise, everyone is very nice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, everyone thinks it's fine. But when the test comes, we are sitting in the prasadam line and sweet is coming, and just before us, all sweet gets over. Many practical examples get given all the time. But we know it when we are, you know, deprived of some special privilege, how do we feel? So how do we react to this provoking situation? Somebody insults us, we have not committed a mistake. And somebody just comes and shouts at us, why did you not do that, or why did you do this in a wrong way? And we have no connection with it. And how do we react to it? How do we respond to it? So it was a provoking situation. But the Muni reacted in a very sober way. So he regretted. Now in Bhagavatam we find that the devotees regret for the activities committed by themselves. We find Ajavaka repenting and regretting a lot after Vishnudutta came and saved him. He is repenting. Dhrumala is repenting. Although there were no faults, but he was repenting that I did not obey my spiritual master and he told me to go back to home in the beginning. So this is the nature of a devotee. Even a slight mistake, even a slight, not only mistake, but sometimes he behaves in a disobedient way also towards the superior. For that also he lamps. And it is said that committing a mistake is a sin. And we get reaction for that. But if you do not feel guilty for it, if you do not regret for it, if you do not feel ashamed for it, if you do not repent for it, then, or we deny the mistake which we have committed, then it becomes a crime. And the reaction which we get for the mistake, if it is one count, for example, and the reaction which we get for denying that mistake or justifying that mistake is 1 million count. That is the reason. Because it is a very natural tendency for every conditioned soul to justify, to prove that whatever I have done is always right. This is one of the four defects. One of the four defects of the conditioned soul is to commit mistake. And another one is to hide it. A cheating propensity is there. It's very rare. It takes a lot of courage in the heart to having done some mistake and to come and admit it. But that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us. Although sometimes we may commit a mistake due to circumstances, sometimes because of our own uncontrolled mind. But then after committing a mistake, how we respond to it? So we would repent for it, we would regret for it. And try to make arrangements and try to take steps to not repeat it in future. Now here we find that the sage has not committed a mistake. But the sage is regretting for the mistake which is committed by his son. So this is one level higher, where a person does not do something himself, but he takes responsibility for the mistake done by the person who is dependent on him. Mother Rishabhadev tells about it in the canto, that one should not become a mother, one should not become a father, one should not become a king, one should not become a guru, unless one is able to train his disciples and dependents. And what does training mean? Training means training in right position. Right position means Krishna consciousness. So the sage also, he did not do a mistake. He could have said, okay, my son has done it, but I have to do with it. He is a folly and work. But no, he took responsibility for it. And that's a very significant thing. We find that he will not display that nature. This quality is very dear to the Lord and it is there in the nature of the Lord also. When the four Kumaras were trying to enter the Vaikuntha Loka, Jayan Vijay, they stopped them. And the sage became very angry. And they prepared themselves to curse him. And that time Lord Narayan appeared on the side. He came running there. And there if you read that verses which Lord Narayan has speaking in the third canto, part 1, last chapter. There, the Lord is regretting. Lord is taking full responsibility for the wrong activity or for the mistake which is done by his servant. And Prabhupada writes very strong purport there. That a disciple is responsible for upkeeping the good name of the spiritual master. He says, just like one spot of leprosy can spoil the beauty of the entire body. Similarly, one mistake committed by a devotee can ruin the image and ruin the prestige of the entire movement sometimes, or the entire yatra, for example, some devotee does something wrong connected to a temple, either a domicile or a guest. Then in the eyes of the public, the whole image of the temple is destroyed. Because for them, that person is responsible. That one person is responsible. Although we know there are different devotees and there are different devotees at different stages of Krishna consciousness. But for outside public, if one person behaves wrongly, they think it's called a life. So it's a great responsibility. So here, because Kamakriti is a father of Shri, so he is taking responsibility for the same and the mistake which is committed by his son. On the other hand, you find that Duryodhana and Duryodhana. Duryodhana never took responsibility for all the mistakes that Duryodhana was doing. Rather, he was overly attached and he was supporting. Even till the end, he did not take responsibility for that. So, this becomes a great responsibility. That if we are in a leadership position, then we are responsible for the mistake which may be committed by our dependents. So it's a very great responsibility that in leadership position we should arrange for the training of the devotees whom we are guiding. Without training, very natural that we will remain conditioned. And then we will behave in a condition where we commit mistake. That's why we impart Vaishnava etiquette training program, like how to deal with the devotees, how to deal with the paraphernalia of the Lord. If that training is not given, then you will commit mistake. And that is the reason that whatever the dependents do, right, the children or the, you know, the citizens, that one sixth of the karma it goes to superior, it goes to the parents or the kings, or because they are the people who are responsible for training. So the Vedic laws are very strict in that regard. So here the sage regretted the sin which is committed by his own son. And secondly it says that he did not take the insult paid by the king very seriously. This is, these are two opposing things. Generally, the tendency is if something is done to us, we take it very seriously. And we never forgive the person who has done it. But here, the sage did not take it very seriously. The word uses achintayat. Chintayat means to think about it. Achintayat means he never thought of it. He just thought the snake is there, just throw it. So imagine, in the same situation, if the snake is there around our neck, at least you will try to find out who put the snake? Who was that? Person who put the snake. Or if there are, like, nowadays there are CCTV, you know, cameras and everything is there. So we try to find out, you know, go back in the history and see who put the snake. Why he put that? But he just thought, okay, somebody put it for some reason, just did not pay any attention. So this is another nature of a devotee. Actually, Bhagavatam is teaching us what is the nature of these great souls and what kind of nature we should develop so that we also become dear to the Lord. Because Lord cannot be influenced by any amount of possessions which we may have, the knowledge which we may have, even the kind of, you know, big achievement which we may make for the Lord, unless he has the right qualities. So Lord is very much concerned about us developing the right quality. That is why we find in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, we find Sith Bhagavata Kavasha, that Krishna describes the qualities of the devotees. Then again in the 13th chapter, he gives 20 items of knowledge in that kind of one. 12th chapter, he tells the quality of the devotee. What kind of devotee is dear to him? And nowhere, of so many places in measure of quality, nowhere you will say, one is a great warrior, very dear to me, one is very powerful, is very dear to me. No. If that has been the case, or somebody who is a great achiever is very dear to me. No. Anybody who has the right consciousness and who has the right qualities, that person becomes dear to the Lord. You find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sridhar Kulavidya. Comparing with any, you know, general average devotee, what was his quality? He was not a great kirtan leader, he was not a big preacher, he was not a big book distributor either. I don't know, he did not have a DD at his home. But because he has the right attitude and devotion for the Lord, God loved him. The Brahmana, South Indian Brahmana was trying to read Bhagavad Gita in any proper way. So no qualification with him. But because he had the right attitude and the good qualities, that attracted the attention of the Lord. Lord Paramahansa is Guna Vilasi. Gunagraha means one who is attracted to the quality of the devotee. So this is another quality that the devotee does not take his own personal insult very, very seriously. And why he does not take, even the Lord does not take the insult done to him very seriously. We find this incident where Bhrigu Muni is going and kicking at the chest of the Lord. And how is he responding? Now he is the Supreme Lord. Nobody is above him, Supreme Lord Narayan. But he is setting an example for the devotee. So he says, Yadir Rajasati Krishna. So he is the most Shrestha person. And he is telling Bhrigu Muni that I am very sorry, I could not come to receive you at the door. I could not pay you proper reception. And, you know, my chest has become purified and sanctified by the touch of the lotus feet. My only concern is that my chest is very hard and your feet is very soft. So my only concern is you might have got hurt because of kicking my chest. And now I am very sure that Mother Lakshmi, who is Chanchala, who lives, who never stays at one place, because my Vakshyastra is sanctified by your touch, she will never leave your place. Of course she left and came to Kolhapur. But that was not very good. And Bhrigu Muni was totally astounded. Tears were coming from his eyes. He could not understand. Similarly, the poor Kumaras, the Lord started speaking, you have come here and Brahmanas are so dear to me. The offering which are put into fire as oblations are not so acceptable to me as when the people offer, you know, the items cooked in pure ghee to the Brahmana. I am more happy to accept the offering to the Brahmana's mouth than the fire sacrifice. And the poor Kumaras were thoroughly puzzled. They just could not make out what is the Lord's behavior. Lord is behaving as if he had done a great favor to him. So they were thoroughly puzzled and they said, my dear Lord, we cannot understand your mind. We don't know whether we have done good or bad. Please forgive us for whatever we have done. So Lord sets an example. Such a big insult. It is not through mind, it is not through words, it is a physical injury. And then with the example of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, injured. Madhai is taking the pot and hitting it, but he doesn't take it seriously. And contemporary, the recent time we have the example of Parashar Bhatt, he is the son of Kureshan, who is disciple of Ramanujacharya. Very great Acharya, Parashar Bhatt. So he was in Srirangam temple, and every day this one person will come and insult him. So when he is walking, and he will say so many bad words. Parashar Bhatt says, he will not respond to him in any way. And then one of the days Parashar Bhatt was praying in front of Lord Ranganath Devi. And he was saying, my dear Lord, I am very fallen. And this person came here. And he said, Satyam, Satyam. And then he said, I am very sinful, I am very wretched, I have no good qualities. And this person said, Satyam, Satyam. And at the end, Parashar Bhatt said, my dear Lord, every day I used to come and say this prayer to you. But you never believed me. Now today I have got a witness also. He is giving the witness. Now you should believe it. And he said, have mercy upon me. So that person thought, but laughed, what kind of person is this? We hear about Buddha. Buddha used to go and take bath in the river. And one person is giving him bad words. Insult him. And Buddha never took it seriously. 1 year he did that. After 1 year he got tired. And he asked, why don't you get affected by what I say? And then Buddha said that, do you receive guests in your house from me? Yes, I do receive. And you offer them something? At that time chai was not there, coffee was not there. And they were offering milk or something. But anyway, milk and fruits or water, whatever. And if they don't receive it, then what happens to it? It remains with me. So same way, also, if you are offering from your side all the glories, all the good or bad words which you want. But I never accepted that. So they remain with me. So in theory, this concept appears to be very easy to say it. But when it happens, well, what is if somebody scolding us, chastising us? Physical, so very, very weird. But even somebody, something goes in the mind, then they say, sometimes you imagine that some devotee is feeling like this word. What is your physical expressing it? Sometimes you just imagine, this devotee is not favorable for me, this devotee is not liking me, this devotee is looking at me like this, this devotee is not looking at me, this devotee is not favoring this to me when I pray. So many imaginary things. So here, the sage is teaching us that one should not take the insult into one very serious. For that one has to be very humble. Because only in humble position, a person does not take themselves very seriously. When one is proud of his achievement, accomplishment, or his position, or post, then it becomes very difficult to tell. In the metal world, you find people, sometimes argument happens, and then they say, Jantaniyo mein kaun hoon, main dikha dunga agle station pe, because sometimes train. and the next season some 15-20 Gundas come and beat that person. That's it. So it matters what everyone is proud of this position, of his influence. They think that he's a very great personality. So, in the spiritual life, one has to become humble. And in that humble state, by the mercy of the Lord, a devotee is able to see fault in himself and then he is able to see good in others. Both the things happen simultaneously. He sees his shortcomings and others' good qualities. And a very classical example for this is when Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami just celebrated Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were so exalted, they were born in Brahmana families, they did not appear for IAS exam to get into the government job. They were forced. They were forced by that king, that Nawab Shahzada, that if you do not join this job, finance minister, prime minister, then you will torture the Hindus and torture the Vaishnavas and put them to a lot of trouble. So just for, not for their own sake, just for the sake of other Vaishnavas, they took those posts. And their father was so worried. Nowadays, parents are worried, my son's tutor for IAS and get to, you know, UPSC and become a classroom officer. But their father was lamenting. Every day he was talking, he can pray to the Lord that please save my son from this miserable position. And they themselves were residing in Ramkeli, big palatial houses. They created a book, Pranlam, there. They were serving the GDs there. They were reading Bhavatam there. They were guided, receiving so many Brahmanas every day. So many things they were doing. But still, they were so humble when they surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Their prayers are really worthy of memorizing and adopting your life. They said that you did not have to exert yourself in delivering Jagai Madai. Jagai Madai, we know what a description is given in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When they were delivered Yamaraj Pint, to make Yamaraj Pint is not something very easy thing. So simple. There was a whole department in the Yamaloka, which was just trying to maintain the account of their sins. And here Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, the best of the Brahmanas, very learned, very humble, very devoted to the Lord. And they are saying that we are very poor. We are serving the malicious. We are serving the people who are mean eaters. So we have also become like them. We have no good qualities. But Jagai Madai, they were very nice people. You did not have to exert, you did not have to work hard to deliver them. They were born in the holy town of Navadvip. They were Brahmana, they were born in the Brahmana family. What they did after being Brahmana, that detail they did not have. And they said that they just committed sin. They never served the Malaysians. But we are serving the Malaysians. So this is the nature of humility. That when true humility comes in the heart, then a person is able to see fault in oneself and good in others. And that is what Swami Jyoti is doing. And the similar qualities are exhibited by Parikshit Maharaj also. Parikshit Maharaj did not mind the curse offered to him by a foolish Brahmana. So again, although it is a serious curse, just to die 7 days for a slight mistake, as Rupa was mentioning, that Maharaj Parikshit Jalani, the stage of the dead, was not at all a very serious offense. But Sringi's curse was very serious. Parikshit Maharaj did not mind it. Why? Because he could see that Lord has some plan behind him. Some plan of the Lord is there, let me accept it, let me obey the follow the will of the Lord. And we find that this attitude is again demonstrated again and again in Bhagavatam. Because in Bhagavatam, if you catch hold of some principles, you will find the same principles being repeatedly emphasized through different persons. If you know the lessons, if you know the, you know, the qualities of the devotees, and the nature of the Lord, same thing you find being repeated in different parts. So similarly, we find that Chitrakirti Maharaj, he did not do something very serious. He was just laughing at him. It was his friend. Lord Shiva is his friend and he just laughed at him. And but the curse which he got was very serious. Even if for a devotee to become a demon, it's really a challenging thing. We want to be nice devotees, Rosi Kutta, Tilak, Sadi, whatever. And then somebody curses to be devotee, demon, fighting against the demigod, killing the demigod actually. At such a huge form, Vritta Asur means that he will cover the whole sky, that is Vritta Asur. Such a huge form here. So it was a very serious thing. But he just came and offered obeisances to Mother Parvati. Indradrona Maharaj was sitting in meditation. Indradrona Maharaj was not like busy in some kind of sense education. It is mentioned in Bhagavata, he was sitting in meditation, fixing the attention on the Supreme Lord. Still, Agastya Muni came and This is the message of the Munis. This is what the Munis want. This is what the sages want us to devote our time and energy for the service of the Lord. But here, unless somebody comes and he sees that this king is not receiving him properly. So here, Agastya Muni, he curses the Lord Maharaj to become an elephant. Again, just see the contrast. King and with an elephant. And here, find a similar thing. Parikshit Maharaj came and they did not receive him properly. So even Parikshit Maharaj could have cursed him, could have punished him. But he just did a small act of putting his snake around his hand. And he got a snake. And he did not counteract it. Because they see the hand of the Lord in all situations and they accept it as the will of the Lord. And that is how this situation has become instrumental, is arranged by the Lord so that Srimad Bhagavatam can descend in this world. And later Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that he took full advantage of the awkward situation. Material world, being in the material world itself is an awkward situation. Awkward situation comes again and again in life, and by the great will of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit achieved the highest perfection of life through the grace of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. So being in material world is a greatly awkward situation. Now because we have become habitual to it, living in the material body, dealing with the material mind, dealing with the material sense objects, we don't feel it's awkward. But try to imagine from a spiritual perspective. We are pure spirit souls. Living in the spiritual world of Vaikuntha or Ayodhya or Golok Dham, serving the Lord incessantly without any impediment, with great love and devotion, right? Without any bodily restraint. And from that state, we are coming in this world of matter, being covered with a subtle world of made up of ego, intelligence and mind, identifying also wrongly with so many designations, and this and that and so many others. And then having intelligence of making plans for sense gratification. And the mind is thoroughly uncontrolled, just chasing after the sense objects. Comparing with the pure state which we are supposed to be. And then this mental body, which is awarded to us, is nothing, it is called Vyadi Mandir. Shastra, this body is called Vyadi Mandir. At other times, Prabhupada says, just like the prisoner is giving a kind of dress. You see that a stripped shirt and the trousers which are given to the people in the jail. So the prisoner can be proud of the dress, he doesn't see, my dress is so nice, nobody else in the outside world has that kind of dress. No. It's given out of punishment. But although the body is given out of punishment, somehow the mind tricks us and we feel very proud of it. There are beauty contests going on. Mr. World and Mrs. World and Mrs. Universe, Mr. Universe. All about this bigger is body filled with all the stool and urine and pus and blood and all. What good is the body? All the man-most of the body are emanating foul substances. The mind is just imagining so many pleasures in this world. Although Krishna describes the dukkha realm, the mind is consistently, incessantly, without any break, 24/7 making plans how to become happy and excited in this world. This is the awkward situation. But we can understand this awkward situation when we compare it with the real position what we have. So in that awkward situation, it is by the great will of the Lord that we have come across Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. Just like Parikshit Maharaj comes across Sukadeva Goswami in the next chapter. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada and his disciples and his devotees, they are the same meaning as Sukadeva Goswami. They are giving the same message what Sukadeva Goswami gave to Parikshit Maharaj. So although the situation is very awkward, we are put into difficult situation. Again and again we have to go through birth, old age, disease and death. It is not an awkward situation. We don't want to get disease. And hundreds of diseases we have to go through. We don't want to grow old. And the old age comes in. We don't want to die. So many elements are there to not succumb to death. And they still want to die. And again there is Adhyatmik Klesh, Adi Bhautik Klesh, Adi Daivik Klesh. All the time. There are constant miseries. So living in a very terribly awkward situation. But all glory to Durga Devi, that all glory to Maya Devi, she doesn't make us feel like that, you see. So much, ask anybody, how are you? He says, I'm fine. Correct? Even if you go to the hospital, one leg is there, on the, tied on the, some string and hand is there, and saliva and everything going, mouth is not able to speak up, you ask, how are you? I'm fine. What is fine? It's like going to a person who's there in the ocean. Ocean, how can one be fine? Ocean is such a dangerous place. In the middle of the ocean, a person is there. The sharks and the waves are surrounding him. They are not in water to drink and the waves are tormenting him. And that situation is living as fine. This is a greatly awkward situation. The Shastra reveals that nature.
Shastra has to be very strong teaching to break our mental illusion and to make us realize that what an effort position we are compared to the being the pure servant of the Lord in the spiritual world, trying to satisfy ourselves in this mental world. It's a very greatly awkward situation. But then, by the great will of the Lord, somehow or other, not our qualification, but we have become fortunate. Because we have come across most pure message of Srila Bhagavatam. And if you pay submission to all the instruction, Srila Prabhupada calls it again and again. You hear Bhagavatam regularly, hear the name of the Lord by chanting, and hear the fame of the Lord by hearing Srila Bhagavatam. Then this awkward situation can be dispelled, can be utilized to achieve the perfection of life. So, this awkward situation has been utilized by many great devotees to take full shelter of the Lord and attain the perfection of life. Because the situation is awkward, but sometimes it becomes too awkward. For example, everybody's situation in this world is awkward. But when Draupadi was there in the assembly of gurus, it became too much awkward, right? When the gurus are trying to disrobe her. And that fully awkward situation, can you imagine? A lady having five powerful husbands. Right in the assembly of the king is supposed to protect women, supposed to protect the cow, supposed to protect the brahmana, the child and the old man. Right in front of the king, right in front of the husband duty is also to protect the wife, to protect and maintain. Right in front of all that, and she is being insulted. And not just a minor insult to word and all, she is being disowned. There is no greater insult for a lady than this. In that awkward situation, she tried her best. Finally, when she realized that situation is beyond her control, she raised her hands and cried out for the Holy Name. Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal, Hey Varga. And then what came like? Sometimes the awkward situation becomes a great impetus to take full shelter of the Lord. You know, Bhagavatam teaches that also. Kunti Maharaj was put in so many awkward situations. Her children were attempted to burn alive. Duryodhana was always making plans to kill the Pandavas. So many. Her whole life was just a series of awkward situations. But then, after everything said right, she is saying, let this awkward situation come again and again. Because when the situation is awkward, they cannot be analyzed in mind, I can take shelter. And you find Gajendra, such a powerful element, he said that when he moved, the whole Tripura mountain will shake. That was his power. But he was caught in an awkward situation, he just went to drink water and play. Even if you go to water kingdom nobody goes expecting some kind of problem. Water kingdom everybody goes just for fun. He was just in a mood to just enjoy. He had his many, many wives and he had his children and he had his praja, so many. So caught up by the crocodile in that awkward situation. And then he tried for, let us say the fight went on for 10,000 or 1 lakh? 10,000 years of the demigod. And then he realized it's beyond that. And he just took one load of flour and offered it to the Lord. So, and then the Lord came immediately and gave him shelter. And similarly, finds the Prabhupada was put in awkward situation in Jalsa. Actually, low situation was awkward. He tried to preach in India, but success did not come. In Jhansi, he tried to make a league of devotees. But then, his wife was a governor, she took that place. He tried to go to Japan, he could not get success. And when Jalsa is going, finally, he has got the ticket and going. And there is another heart attack. Is it not an awkward situation, a 70-year-old man going for the mission of the Lord, trying to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master, and then he's undergoing some kind of heart attack, and there's no doctor on the board. No one to help him, no one to cook for him, no one to give him any kind of service. But again, in that situation, he took shelter of the Lord, and he says that Lord came, with all his associates, and took charge of the ship. So situation may be awkward, but every awkward situation can be made glorious if we take shelter of the Lord in that situation. And the easiest way of taking shelter of the Lord in this age is the path given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and propagated further by all the great acharyas and especially Srila Prabhupada throughout the world, that to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra seriously and sincerely and attentively. If you do that, I heard in one of the lectures, if we chant Hare Krishna attentively, you will see miracles happening in your life every day. So we have the treasure, but we are not realizing what we have. If you take full advantage of it, then whatever our situation may come in life, either by our own misdeed, because we have done wrong activities in the past, or by the assistance of the Lord. But the solution is only one, to take shelter of the Lord by chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. Parikshit Maharaj is going to go through that graphical situation, graphical awkward situation to take shelter of the Lord. We have got the same opportunity to take shelter of the same message of Bhagavatam and the same holy name of the Lord without waiting for this kind of dangerous situation to happen in our life. So, I'm very grateful, very thankful to all of you for the kind and patience here. It's possible to come with some mistakes on this is why I'm learning a lot. It's blessed that I can also adopt in my life, practice in my life, and listen to you as well. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai, Gaurabhakta ki jai. Pela puxada? Você está aí com questão? Você está aí com questão? Tem uma questão para você. Tem uma questão para você, né? Questão. Why? Who did not help? Recently, you all asked the question when Draupadi was being destroyed by the Pandava, where the husband did not help. Right? That is the question. Why the Pandava husband did not help? The answer has two, the answers of this question are at two levels. One is the mundane level where the people are not Krishna conscious devotees. And they don't know the plan of the Lord, they don't have faith in the Lord. But then, the moral principles are more important. From moral perspective, it is told that the Pandavas, they were playing the game of dice and they lost her. So when they lost her, then it became a competitive prison. That is from the moral perspective, they said. Now, why Dhritarashtra and others did not protect, that's why they became Adani. And that's why it is Jesus is quoted by Shri Prabhupada in the purport to one of the verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhishma and Drona did not took the side of Dharma at that time when Draupadi was being destroyed. That's why they were likely to be killed. That was punished. So sometimes the personality takes the side of Adharma and the reaction become later. But this reason is quoted by Shri Prabhupada that they did not save her, they should have protected her. So they became Adharmi. And Pandava did not say because they were bound by Dharma, because they were Dharma. But this reason is a mundane reason. This reason is not fully approved by our acharyas. Rasayana gives the reason that the Pandavas are like puppets in the hands of the Lord. Your devotees, they act like puppets. Whatever way the Lord moves, the string they move. So they wanted to manifest the glories of the Lord. Because in future, if some lady is in trouble and she does not have a husband as powerful as Pandavas, then she has no other better. And every lady cannot have five husbands like Pandavas. Who will protect her? But the protection was which was offered by the Lord to Draupadi, that protection is available to every lady at all times. Provided that intensity is there. So, to prove that Lord is the ultimate shelter, not the husband, the whole person was enacted that Lord is the ultimate person. Lord is said to be Sāsva-dāmpati, Lord is said to be so many, so there is one verse in Bhagavatam, Lord is said to be eight kind of pati, Dhiyapati, Sāsva-dāmpati and all those things. So the husband would have protected, and for all time to come it would have gone in history that if a lady is powerful husband, she can be protected, otherwise she will not be. But when the Lord gives protection, and for all time to come the message is conveyed that anyone who takes shelter of the Lord at any time is given protection by the Lord. And another fact which is proved is that nobody in this matter world can protect one. So there was one tells us that these are all the people whom we have around us, whether the lady has husband or you know the man has bank balance or the relatives or the whole army or anything, ask the family to Asatati. All these kind of shelters, they cannot give full protection. So Acharya tells that this very important principle is established. That anyone can access the mercy and protection of the Lord by calling out his holy name with intensity. That is required. If he did not send 1600 is possible. Or one moment as the Lord came. Because the intensity is better, not the number of years. The number of years are there, but the intensity is not there, Lord will not come. Those who call Lord is not king. Lord came right from the earth, the moment. Lord is not far away. Thus, who is the middle of the game? He should be in the middle. Very good. But we don't have that intensity of calling. As Kundimana says, that those who have high wealth, high knowledge, strong body, and beauty, they are not able to, they call Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal, Hey Krishna, but the intensity is not there. So when Lord is very merciful, He drives us of all these shelters. And all the things are taken away, and we just don't have anything. Anything to hold on. That time the intensity of somebody calls. So this principle is more emphasized by the Lord. In matter of devotion, this example is given to be how Krishna is grateful. So Rupa Goswami writes this example saying that Krishna is so grateful that Draupadi called out in him once, and he felt, I am so indebted. My duty has called for me purely, without any other shelter. So how can I not go? Immediately he ran for the boyfriend.
Gajendra and? Correct.
For that, 100,000 people sitting there, 100,000 all on the side of Duryodhana. And they could have got punished. If they could have tried to save her, they would have got punished. Because it's a, you know, Duryodhana is ordering that. Duryodhana is the place in his life. Practically, he's the king. The Rasha is lying by his thought, I included in power. Practically speaking, he was having the power of king. So much so that when Krishna came up his passenger, again he tried to capture him. So he was influential person. Although Duryodhana was named the king, but Duryodhana was the one who managing everything. So all the people were on this side. So the normal people, ordinary people could not protect. So, you know, we can answer at both levels. That was the, for example, if here, you know, the Prime Minister or the king wanted to do something, then the Duryodhana came out to oppose. They will be suppressed. They have that, they will be suppressed in the power. And the Pandavas are bound by moral code. In a worldly way. On a spiritual plane, they knew that this is the will of the Lord, this is the desire of the Lord, and He personally wanted to give protection, so they did not say anything. So, the nature of pure devotees to understand how they act according to the will of the Lord is the very secret. It can be understood only by from a person who has affection for the Lord. Otherwise, you get confused. How is it the most confusing literature in the entire Vedic scenario? Very confusing, you never understand it. Some people say there is a central figure, there is a central figure. So many things are immoral, apparently. But everything makes sense when we understand it from the perspective of great acharyas who know what is Krishna's plan. And Krishna is the central figure of his Mahabharata, not Pandavas, not Duryodhana. And he is orchestrating his plan through the Pandavas. So when we understand in this way, through the help of great devotees, then everything becomes. Thank you very much. I don't know what this night Thursday is.
Very difficult to make shelter of Krishna. We have all the problems in life.
In all the?
We have all the complaints in life. Is it difficult to give any shelter of Krishna?
Very difficult to make shelter of Krishna.
We should work to renounce the comfort. Comfort will be there, but the spiritual master has a desire. Yes. Taking care of the spiritual master. The spiritual master has given an instruction, you know, that dedicate your life in service of the mission. Most of the gurus and so on, they are very high expectations. They are a great load of services. So much to do. So that inspiration to voluntarily give up some of our comfort will come by seeing our spiritual master. How much hard work they are doing? If we can assist them in a little bit, they are not getting to sleep in 2 hours a day. I am sleeping 8 hours, I can sleep for 6 hours. It's a great service. So it can be done only on the basis of inspiration. The comfort can be reduced only on the basis of inspiration. Otherwise it's very difficult. When you feel inspired that this person gives so much, giving his life for saving the fallen souls and for extending the compassion of Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas, you feel inspired. And indeed the comfort is the service of the Lord. Now how to do it in the practical details? But it's possible, especially when Prabhupada tells
Bangalore with some of my old friends. They are all working and so this talking to them, I was saying, you know, Prabhupada told the principle of giving 50% in charity. Anybody who gives 50% in charity, even if it's a multi-billionaire person, you will never be comfortable. Guaranteed. You will never be comfortable. It takes a lot of hard work to stand. So when God follows various instructions of Acharya, then comfort will come. As we follow the instruction of chanting Krishna attentively, it's the Lord. For that we have to prepare our consciousness the whole day. So when we take the principles of Krishna in this very seriously, then we will see that the comfort zone will automatically go. Although we were sitting on a nice, comfortable sofa, mind will be an anxiety, you know, how to propagate this mission, how to take care of this devotee, and how to conduct this principle, so many things. Although so far currently bodily comfort will be there, but when mind is engaged in planning for the Lord and you know, increasing the service, then the body also may be comfortable, apparently, but we are not in the comfort zone. How to do it practically, I cannot say. This is very specific thing in the situation. But I can say that Prabhupada has created such an organization, such a society, that they have unlimited opportunity to do service. Unlimited opportunity. People are suffering like anything. Book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan, Prasad distribution, you know, temple construction, and you know, taking responsibility for our own learning, getting realization from the Shastra. When we learn from Shastra, where is all the comfortability, the moment is comfortability, we should take away. So reading Shastra very deeply and realizing it, so then our words will have a lot of potential and a lot of power. We can do a lot of better work for us. So much is there. Prabhupada made a mission that one lifetime is not sufficient for fulfilling all his desires. We may take birth again and again and again to contribute to Prabhupada's mission. So much is there. So then we. The most practical way associated with those devotees are not in comfort. That is practical way. Associated with those are not in comfort zone. In Kuna, somehow, Rajasthan was created that culture that none of us can get more than 5 to 6,000 people. 5 or 3 visits. Just if you get 5 or 3 visits, luxury. No much. Responsibility. Take this responsibility. Go here and please do this, do that. And it's good because if you are not given that, you have so much energy, so much passion. You will utilize it along the way. Because had we not been here, in Krishna consciousness, we would have been better there. So, that opportunity.
Yes,
There is no example in comfortable situation they have to consider. But there are examples in modern
They were comfortable. Somehow Lord disturbed their comfortable situation. Amrish was an example of theirs. He was not putting any kind of misery. Before that also he was taking shelter. Maybe Parikshit Maharaj was taking full shelter without any misery. Bharat Maharaj was taking full shelter without any misery. But Lord used them as an instrument to teach further lessons. Parikshit Maharaj was a pure devotee. He was not that had not been cursed to death and then he would not have gone back to God. No. That is the plan made by the Lord to reveal Shri Bhagavatam. Bharat Maharaj was a pure devotee. But Lord used them to teach a certain lesson. At very least. But there are examples that where devotees have taken full shelter of the Lord in apparently comfortable situation. Rishabh Dev. When we understand our actual spiritual position, we are very uncomfortable, we are in an awkward situation. But because of not having a deep realization of our spiritual things, we feel very comfortable. Padmapurana says the greatest misery in life is to forget Krishna for a fraction of a moment. Now, how much realization do we have of it? That's the greatest misery. He says the greatest calamity is not the volcanic eruption, the earthquake, the tsunami. You know, not that, to forget Krishna for a fraction of a moment. We don't have realization. We forget that we have forgotten him for all time. In my chanting, they are not able to remember it. So it is a conditioned state. The conditioned state where we feel we are mentally comfortable. Materially comfortable position doesn't exist. It's only in because of not being aware of the actual position. How a child who is separated from a mother is crying, how can he be comfortable? The child is in illusion surrounded by toys, he feels. That is the illusion being created by Maya. So we take shelter of the Shastras, then you know, we can find a way out. In fact, from a Shastra point of view, when people are in misery, they are not actually miserable because they don't realize. But from all perspectives, we say they are in misery. And Kunti Maharaj never suffered. Kunti Maharaj has full realization that she is the servant of the Lord. She never suffered from the right there in the perfect. So she is not suffering. But because we are not at the realization, so we say that they are suffering and we should take shelter. Shastras are quite intricate, but one thing that if you take shelter of the Shastras, then a lot of realizations can come. This volume I am not able to answer this question very properly. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.